Amen. Worthy is the Lamb slain before the foundation of the world. Praise the Lord for that. Thank you so much, Miss Elizabeth, and we appreciate that. As I mentioned, I want to preach to you a message this morning and trust that it's a blessing to you about Joshua, that man of God. We're going to look at Joshua chapter number 1. If you find your place there in Joshua chapter number 1, while you're finding your place there, I did hear about this fella that was out. It was about watermelon picking season, and this fella Bubba was down the fields, and this guy told him, he gave him that big old watermelon. He said, I'll give you $5 if you eat that watermelon. This is way back. He said, $5? He said, I've never had $5 all my own. He said, that'd be great. And he said, if you eat it all, he said, I'll give it to you. And he said, do you mind if you wait right here for just a little bit? And he said, I'll be glad to. So that boy took off like a dart and went, ran up to the house. About 10 minutes later, he came back down, and he told that fella, he said, I'm ready. He said, all right. And he took that watermelon. He just broke it over his knee, and he just started scooping it out. And he was eating, spitting seeds out one side like a machine gun and just digging in. He got gnawed down every bit of that rind and put every bit of that watermelon out through the rind the side, took his long-sleeved shirt and wiped his mouth, and he stuck it out his hand. He said, where's my $5? He said, boy, I've got your $5. He said, I don't mind giving that to you. He said, but one question before I do, what'd you go up to the house for? What'd you go up there and stay gone for 10 minutes or so and then come back down? He said, well, I thought I could eat that watermelon. But he said, Mama had another one just that same size on the counter. I figured I'd go up there and see if I could eat that one. I figured if I eat that one, I could eat yours. So I could, and I did. Now where's my $5? Joshua chapter number 1, the Bible says, now after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given you, as I said unto Moses, from the wilderness and this Lebanon, even unto the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and unto the great sea, toward the going down of the sun, shall be your coast. There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. I want you to look at this next phrase. That's where I'll get my title from. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. Be strong and of a good courage. For unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Only be thou strong and very courageous, and thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand nor to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. As I mentioned, I like to preach a message entitled, As I Was, So I Will Be. We're watching a perfect situation unfold here. Joshua, he was one of those faithful spies. You remember the two, if you were in children's church back in the day, and you learned about 12 men went to spy on Canaan, 10 were bad, 2 were good. The little song for children goes, he was one of the two. He was one of the faithful people that said God can deliver it. The other ones voted him down, though. And so Joshua is one of those faithful ones, but in this passage, we find that he's going to be put on display to show God's mighty power to this new generation. And he's going to be front and center as all these miracles take place. God's going to use Joshua as a powerhouse for God. But before God does that with Joshua, he does something first. You might ask, well, what's he do first? I want to share that with you as my first point. We'll pray and ask the Lord's help and blessing. Father, please, please do bless us. Bless us with your power. Bless us with your presence, I pray. And Lord, I pray that you would encourage that soul today that is so far down, they're beginning to think you're not going to use them again. Or maybe that one that's lost somebody so very close to them, and Lord, they just think it's all over. I pray that you would impress upon us today, as you were with Moses, you'd be with Joshua. Help us in Jesus' name. Amen. I see the cause of the scene, if I want to show it to you first. The cause of the scene, what brought this about to begin with? Joshua is ready to be on display in front of all these Israelites. Joshua is going to lead the people over the Jordan River. Joshua is going to be used of God to perform a miraculous feat that hasn't been seen the likes of since way back when Moses did some things of that nature. But Joshua has first of all got to have the scene set, and God puts some things in motion, and He brings some things to pass so that He might show Joshua off, if you will, to the people of Israel. Joshua is going to cross that Jordan. He'll do something that's very bombastic in his ministry. It will actually put the capstone on all that Joshua did. Yes, he was a faithful spy, but when we think about Joshua, we oftentimes talk about the Jordan River passing. I think about people in the Bible. John the Baptist got to say, "Behold, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world." John the Baptist got to stand as a voice, as a proclaimer for the Lord Jesus Christ. Peter got to preach that Pentecostal sermon when 3,000 people got saved, and he got to preach about the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. John got to deliver the revelation, got to tell about all those things that were going to happen in the future and tell us those things that have been keeping people busy ever since, reading and trying to figure it out. And John got to do that. Joseph of Arimathea got to beg the body of Jesus to do a proper burial of him. You see, many people have a defining moment in their lives. But can I tell you that oftentimes before God shows up, or before He shows what He can do, He often sets the stage. You go to a little playhouse where some community kids are performing and they're putting forth a performance or a play, and you've got the director and they set everything up and they get the script and they get the props and they get the actors ready, they get the background prepared, and then showtime. I'm not trying to compare our lives to a play or a production at a local theater, but what I am saying that oftentimes when God's getting us ready to go do something for His glory, He's getting ready to use us as a mouthpiece for how good He is to the people who were around, oftentimes He sets that stage. And the reason I'm bringing this up is because many of us, we fear and we worry and we stay in depression sometimes because of what God has allowed to be taken from us. Let me go a step further. What I mean by that is that sometimes we think, "I can never go on because my Moses is gone. My mentor is gone. My favorite Bible teacher is gone. Oh, that preacher that was preaching that revival that I got, and as long as he was there, then it was easier to walk on with the Lord. But now God's taking him on to heaven." Maybe it's that grandparent that you thought, "Boy, she is the polarizing force for our family. She's the one that brings everybody back in. She's the prayer of the family. She's the one that people gather around. She's the rallying point." But now she's gone. Maybe it's that spouse that you do understand how you can go on without them by your side. I'm just telling us this morning that Joshua found that if he was going to be used of the Lord, God was going to set the stage. And one of the things that he was going to do to set that stage was remove his Moses. And we see that God sets the stage or causes the scene. And so I'm not saying that everything that happens is going to be in this way. But what I am saying, that God gets us ready for to be used for His glory and for His honor. Joshua was a ready, faithful, obedient servant. And then God moves Moses out of the way. Let me read to you what's said about Moses in Psalm 103. The Bible says about Moses, "He made known His ways," that's God did, "He made known His ways unto Moses, His acts unto the children of Israel." Do you understand how powerful Moses was in the lives of these Israelites? Moses knew God. The Israelites knew a lot of the acts of God. They got to see what God did, but Moses got to see the God of the act. And that's why the Scripture says that Moses, he knew the ways of God. And when Moses was gone, believe me this, it was going to be obvious that as long as he was there, that Joshua wasn't going to be able to be used of the Lord as he was when God used him to part the Jordan River. That loss, my friend, that trial, that difficulty that you're going through, it very well could be that God's setting the stage to use you to do something bigger than you ever thought was possible. You know what has caused a lot of people to get the job of their lifetime? When they lost the job they thought was the job of a lifetime. You know what's caused a lot of people to dig in a certain position and just make their make their company go forward? A lot of heartache before then. I don't have to take you to secular illustrations when many people like Abraham Lincoln lost and lost and lost political endeavors only to finally rise to the highest office of the land as president. And those stories are out there galore. Why? Because oftentimes God takes away what we think we need so that He can put us up there and use us as going forward for His glory. So we see the cause of the scene, or that God sets the scene, if you will. But I want you to look at this next thing is the most important point. If you look in verse number 5, as I told you our text verse was, there shall not be anybody able to stand before thee all the days of our life, of thy life. And then it goes on to say, as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I see not only the cause of the scene, because God gets Moses out of the way so Joshua can assume the position to lead these people of Israel, but I see more importantly than that, I see the consistency of God. Do you know what the Israelites found out when the priest dipped their foot in the brink or the brim of the Jordan River? You remember the story, right? They were bringing the ark, bringing the furniture, and coming over there, and God said, you get down to the Jordan River. The Jordan River was high that time of year. You get down there to the Jordan River, out to the brim or the brink of it, and when you put your foot in, how many of you understand there's probably some of those priests that said, this ain't going to work? Just like you as a father, you as a grandfather, you as a leader of a family, you tell your children and whoever else, and there's someone saying, oh, I don't think this is going to work. I'm sure there were some of those priests that I don't know about this, but do you understand what they found out when they put their foot in the brim or the brink of that Jordan River, and then the Bible says that they ended up walking across on dry ground? They found out that day that it wasn't the power of Moses that split the Red Sea, although that's what we always say. It wasn't the power of Moses that split the Red Sea. It was God of Moses that split the Red Sea. It was Moses' obedience that brought the power of God so that the Red Sea could get split. And now you fast forward several years and you find Joshua, and Joshua gets to a place where he gets to show the people of God the same thing that Moses showed them back then. All of a sudden, it's not Moses, it's not Joshua, but instead, it's the God Almighty of Israel, and we understand that Moses didn't split the Red Sea, although I don't think we're wrong in saying it like that. We understand, though, technically, Moses didn't. God used him to do it, and Joshua didn't either, but what we do understand, there's a consistent God from there to there that God says, as I was, so I will be. Take into my life for a little while. Dallas Billington pastored and grew the Akron Baptist Temple back in those decades before. The Akron area was just known for rubber and tires and all that was the big industry around there. And Akron Baptist Temple grew to be the largest church in America. You take that and you look at other people from then, since then and now. You take M.J. Parker was the bus director at the Great Highland Park Baptist Church in Chattanooga, Tennessee for many years, and was used of God to take this bus ministry into a large gathering of people, getting thousands to come. And you take not only the spiritual, but you take the secular. Most all of you have eaten a Chick-fil-A, but you can't eat there today because it's Sunday. Truett Cathy started it, and one of the leading restaurants in America. And as he did, he wanted to put God first in this founding of the restaurant. My friend, God was faithful to these men and so many scores and scores of others. So faithful to these people, and He'll be faithful to you. Do you think God's a respecter of persons? Our Bible says He is not. And so if God will do it for one, He'll do it for the other. We've just got to get tapped into the same source and realize that, again, as Moses wasn't the power that brought the miracles, neither was Joshua. It was the God that did it. Moses just got tapped into God. I see the consistency of God. He sets the scene, the cause of the scene, but the consistency of God as He's faithful to Moses and He's faithful to Joshua. But we can go further than that. He was faithful to Daniel. He was faithful to David. He was faithful to the apostles. He was faithful to all of us. And He'll be faithful today. Now I want you to look, if you will, in verse number 6. And I give you my last point, and that's the courage of the available to the followers. I say it's my last point, but ladies, don't put your shoes on yet. It'll be a little longer point than what you're thinking. We'll be out soon. Verse number 6 says, be strong and of good courage. Verse number 7 says, only be thou strong and very courageous. Verse number 9 says, have not I commanded thee, be strong and of good courage. You understand that the Red Sea couldn't box Moses in, and the Jordan River couldn't box Joshua in. But my friend, with the help of God, your problem can't box you in either. I know we disassociate those miracles of the Bible with what we're doing. Those are good Sunday school lessons. But I don't want to be just like a preacher telling these things you've heard 100 times, but it is the same God that did those that wants to help you and I in our life today. You say, well, I haven't seen any rivers cross like or part like that. Yeah, but we haven't needed them to either. Yeah, but I haven't seen this. We may not have needed it. Just because God doesn't always work the exact same way doesn't mean that the exact same God isn't working. So my friend, I see the consistency of God, yes, but then I see the courage available to His followers. He said, be strong of good courage. Be strong and very courageous. Be strong and of good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed. Verse number 9. Why? You say, okay, John, I'm just going to buck it up and be courageous. Well, no, that's not the end of the statement. Look, if you will, in verse number 9, he says, be strong, good courage, be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed. And the next few words is what really tells us why we can have the first part of the verse, and that is, for the Lord thy God is with thee. You're not strong just for strength's sake. You're not strong just because you mustered up enough courage. We can be strong because the Lord our God is with us. Long as He's there. You remember what it was like to be a kid and you assumed your dad could take care of anything that come against you? And then you got older and you got to be an adult yourself and you realized your dad was scrambling every time some issue came up. He was just hoping he could keep that illusion up in front of you as a small child. But my friend, the reason your parents could and my parents could and the reason we can face whatever it is we want to face, because the Lord is with us. It's the courage available to His followers. My mamaw lived by herself 25 years after Papaw went on to heaven. So many friends and family said, Blanche, you shouldn't stay there. You don't need to stay there. You need to get somewhere else. Stay with one of the kids or do this. And she always said the same thing. God will take care of me. She also told me one time, said, oh, John, if they come get me, they'd bring me back after a while. But on the more spiritual side, she said, God will take care of her. And He did. She went to the hospital on a Sunday morning and went to glory on a Tuesday. When they took her out of her house on Sunday, that was that night, Sunday night and Monday night, those are the only two nights that she ever stayed away from her house, but what she wanted to. Maybe she went to my aunt's or something for a vacation. And she was right. God would take care of her. I'm telling you, there's courage available to the followers of Christ. And here we sit worried and disabled basically because of our fear. And my friend, I'm telling you that the Lord is not slack concerning His promises. The Lord will be with us and the Lord will guide us. The Lord will help us. The Lord will empower us. He said, I'd be strong and of good courage, not just for courage's sake, but because the Lord thy God is with thee. David was a store manager at a little variety store out west. When he started a home business in his garage, he started making some different crafts and things and mostly assembling and miniature and selling miniature picture frames. And that business grew and basically focused on those arts and crafts things until finally they rented a 300-square-foot store to put the things that they'd been building in his garage and opened their first store in Oklahoma City, and then went on to do their next store and next, and there's one in Johnson City and 900 others across America, the Hobby Lobby stores, and David Green, his family, as they started that, wanted to honor God, and that's why you can't buy anything at Hobby Lobby today, because their website says something, it's for faith and family, so their team members can be go experience their faith and then be with their family. Now, you may not agree with everything they do. Rarely do we ever agree with everything anybody does. And sometimes, catch me on a bad day, I don't agree with myself. You say, well, I don't think I like what so-and-so did. I say, yeah, I don't like what I did back then either. But my point in saying that is somebody challenged the business world and said we're going to honor God with what we do, and God shows His power in a situation like that. I'm just trying to get you to see today that God would not be partial to Moses, to Joshua, to other believers now, to us. The same Lord is rich unto all that call unto Him. That's specifically given to the area of salvation, Romans. But that is true also in the power of the Lord. God may not always answer the prayers the way you want Him to answer, but please don't ever mistake that He's not able to answer. A lot of prayers I prayed, I'm glad God didn't answer like I wanted. Amen? A lot of times, if He'd have done what I thought was from where I was sitting, and He'd agreed with what I said, we'd have been in a huge mess. How many of you understood? You're thankful God said no a few times. My friend, I'm just telling you that there's courage available to His followers. Our text says in verse number 2, God told said, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore, arise. Somebody in this room needs to hear that just like Joshua was told, Joshua, I was with Moses, I'll be with you. Somebody in this room, I believe, needs to hear when God says, I was with your grandparents. I was with that pastor back in the hills of West Virginia that you were saved under. I was with that Bible teacher that really got you grounded in the faith, but now they've gone on. I was with that parent. I was with that spouse. But I believe that God would say the same thing. As I was with, I will be with. As I was with Moses, I will be with you, Joshua. And as I was with that person that you've lost, that you loved and you counted on them so much to carry such of the load spiritually for your family, there are some of us that we literally don't know what we'll do when our prayer warrior goes to heaven. You've got somebody like that? But I'm giving myself advance advice that God would say to me, as I was with, so I'll be with. As I was with Moses, so will I be with you. And there's some of us that we're afraid that God did us the biggest disservice by taking somebody out of our way. You understand that Moses was the beloved leader of the Israelites. Wasn't nobody like Moses. But God was not limited when Moses went on to heaven. Moses was so much, so close to God one day, that he must have just said, Moses, you're closer to my house than we are to yours. We're just going to bury you over here and won't even let anybody know where you're at. And a group of people didn't know how they were going to go on. But God settled in on Joshua and said, remember, it's not the Moses of God, it's the God of Moses that matters. As I was, so will I be. And this morning, I don't know what you're facing, but I can't believe that God had me preach this message to a bunch of people who didn't need to hear. So I believe that we need to take comfort from the Word of God, that God is interested in being involved in our lives and letting us continue on in His power and in His ability. So I will be. Lord, bless us now is our prayer. Lord, I pray for everyone that's listening this morning, be it here in this auditorium or on live stream or on the radio. Lord, I believe with all of my heart that you led me to preach this message as you gave it to me this week. And Lord, as I was working through that in my study, I was praying that you would use it, and I pray that you have. Now, folks, as our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed,